Auburn takes down Kent State 79-56. Let's talk about it. Let's have some fun.
In the world full of podcasts, he's the undisputed heavyweight champion of hot takes, an Auburn sports homer, master of the book, and message board legend. Get your buttons buttoned and your hats flattened, because the Top Button Podcast is about to kick off, and you don't want to miss your courtside seat. Now, here's your host, Charlie Five.
Yes, sir. We are buttoned up and ready to go. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast, Hoops Edition, ready to talk about this Auburn basketball win. Auburn takes down Kent State 79-56, and I have titled a sloppy win. What a reality that we're here talking about a sloppy win, covering a 22.5-point spread. That's a lot of fun. Speaking of spreads, we're going to get into the game. But before we do that, we got to give a shout-out to mybookie.ag. Use coupon code NEXTROUND for a double-up deposit bonus. I got my bonus locked in and hit a big live bet tonight on the live under. I love live betting basketball. Sometimes you can catch that thing getting out of whack, and you can hit it. Again, the spread was 22.5. Hopefully you hit it and you're biting your nails all the way to the end, because it hit by the hook. Definitely there's all kinds of ways to bet. Check it out. Use that double up bonus and get that extra free money to play with on top of your deposit. That's mybookie.ag. The world we live in when we talk about Auburn basketball now seems absurd. It seems not like reality. If you're like me, you're probably sitting here thinking that feeling like Auburn left some meat on the bone, I guess. Feeling like maybe, you played a little sloppy or this, that, and the other, but Auburn turns it on at the end and covers the spread, covers a 22.5-point spread, beats a very solid team. I think they're picked to finish third, top 10, or definitely top five in their conference. Had a little cold streak and kind of took their best shot, and then at the end just really turned it on and put it on them and took over and put the game away. So definitely big to come off that road trip. I'm sure that was an emotional game against Houston, and just sort of put it definitely emotional. I mean, it was so emotional you fought in the air. But you come home, you get to work, and you go ahead and you put this game away late. Even, despite some offensive struggles at times. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the good, the bad, and the ugly. I want to start with the good, okay? I want to start with the good, and there's a lot of good. There's a lot of good. So, first of all, Chaney Johnson is a completely new human. Chaney Johnson is a totally different human being. It's unreal to watch his game from last year to this year. And you look at him, and it's like watching a creative player. It really is. It's like watching if you are going into whatever video game you're playing, and you create a player, that's who it comes out as. It's Chaney Johnson. He's reshaped his body. Somehow he looks more explosive, more athletic, and he's becoming one of the more steady three-point shooters. It's unreal. It blows my mind at how developed he's become, and it's exciting, because I think the question marks going into this year were, what kind of production could you get out of the four? What kind of production could you get out of Chaney, and Jaheim Hudson, Turtle? What can you get out of that? Because that's, to me, is the key to this team being able to make a really, really deep run. That, and then the production out of the point guard position. But Chaney has been the steady hand of, obviously you got Broome, but outside of Broome, Chaney's been the steady hand through these first three games. No matter what the cold streak is, if you start out cold, if you start out whatever, Chaney has just been going off every single game. I mean, his stat line tonight, let's just walk through it. He played 22 minutes. He scored 18 points on 8 of 11. And he was 2 of 3 from three. Couple that with 5 rebounds, 4 assists. Auburn had 23 assists on 79 points, which is insane. I'm sorry, he played 29 minutes. His plus minus was 22. So he played nearly 30 minutes, scored 18 points. And that was one of the things that we felt like he could be a 10 to a 12 point per game type player, but he's got the ability. He really does have the ability to go for 18 to 20 a game. I mean, he's that explosive. Some of the dunks he had were incredible. Some of the dunks he had were just rim rocking. Like it's highlight reel type stuff. A lot of fun. Very, 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 very excited at the potential that he has. And I hope we get to see his game continue to develop. Another good, I mean, obviously the big man, Janai Broom, easy double double, 18 points, 10 board. I'm sorry, 18 points, 12 boards, 4 assists. Again, assists out of the big guys, being able to pitch it in, kick it back out, and score points is something that's very, 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 very beneficial. Played 28 minutes again. Janai has never really been a heavy workload guy. It's typically been 24-ish minutes a game, 25 minutes a game. He played, I think, over 30 last game. He's playing close to 30 this game. And you're seeing that he's just able to, the more time he gets, the more chance he has to just completely take over a game. And it felt like when the shooting was cold, we probably could have gone inside a little bit more. But golly, they were getting such good looks. And we'll get to that. We'll get to that in just a minute. Janai Broom, just another masterful game. Hey, 2 of 3 from the line. What? I think he hit his first 2 free throws in a row. Like he got fouled on a shot and hit his 2 free throws, which was obviously a lot of fun. you joke about that because of him, you know, being able to going cold from the line. But he definitely got after it there. Anytime like you can go through a scoring drought, anytime things can, you know, cool off, you feel really good about being able to feed Chaney and feed Janai inside and being able to score and bang around. It's a ton of fun to watch, man. It's really fun to watch this team get after it. Chad also had another really good game, 12 points on 3 of 7 shooting. He's 0 for 2 from 3, but still 6 of 8 from the line. And just made some timely plays, did a little bit of everything. He had an incredible dunk that was electric. He had, you know, the touch shots off the glass, jump shots. He's just so versatile. Had a mid-game snack, eating some food. Everybody caught it. He grabbed a chip off of the scoring table. I think he's just so entertaining. And then he's going to have the meme of the century on one of Chaney's dunks on a fast break. There's going to be a meme. We'll put some pictures out where the camera catches him. He's celebrating while Chaney's in the air. It's hilarious. He's almost like he's almost doing the airplane thing too, which is even, you know, doubly more fun. So yeah, that's Chad's just continuing to build on last year, the end of last year, getting so hot. He's continuing to kind of build on that. Denver played unbelievable defense again. And then finally, he was 0 for his first 5, I think, 0 for his first 5 from 3, and then he hit his last 2 in a row. Hit all his free throws, scored a quiet 12 points, 3 rebounds, just playing smothering defense. God, this team plays such good defense. I mean, you hold a basketball team to under 60 points, doesn't matter who it is, that's playing basketball. That's playing defense, man. That's getting after, that's hustling. I mean, you had 6 blocks, 3 steals, playing just ferocious defense. It's really, really a lot of fun. It's really, really a lot of fun to watch. And that kind of changes the game. The defense changes the game. The defense turns into offense. It's a lot of fun. So let's move on to, you know, obviously there was that run. Let's discuss a little bit of the negative and then put a bow on it at the end. So Auburn started off on a 25-3 run, if I'm not mistaken. Opened up the game 25-3, and then kind of cooled off from there. 3-point shooting was pretty bad, and it wasn't like they were forcing shots, especially Denver. Denver was getting some incredible looks. A lot of the guys were getting incredible looks, and for whatever reason, there was a lid on it tonight. 6 of 24, 25% from 3. It's not awful, but that's not where you want to be. You got to be somewhere. It's got to be somewhere in that closer to that 30 plus range, 30 to 35% range before you're feeling like, okay, you know, I feel a little bit better about that. But it's just, man, I'm not, that's two games now, I think, the first game and then this game where the three-point shot's a little bit cold, shot really good from three last game, other than Miles in the first game. It was pretty cold. So that's something I'm watching. I know we got some really good shooters, and maybe they just have to shoot their way out of it like Denver did tonight. Just keep going. I understand that you're like, hey, if you're not hitting them, stop shooting them. But I think these guys need to shoot their way out of it. Just kind of keep going because they're all good shooters. They all can shoot at a high clip. They all can shoot at a high clip every single game, and a different one could do it every single night. So three-point shooting is something I'm definitely watching because that's obviously important. And tonight it was not great, so it's definitely got to get better. JP Pegues, first of all, I'm not going to be super negative on anybody, okay? I understand it's an adjustment, and I understand you're playing on a new team, but we really need more production, in my opinion, out of JP. We really need more out of him, in my opinion, from that point guard spot. I mean, he was I don't expect him to necessarily be – you don't need him to score 20 points a game. You can get it inside. You can do what you got to do. But for some reason, when he gets the ball across half court, the ball seems to stick a lot. In other words, the ball doesn't seem to move quite as well when JP's in at point. And I don't know what that is. I don't know if it's they diagnose that they can trap him as soon as he gets across half court and slow things down. I really don't know exactly what it is, but the ball's sticking a lot whenever JP is in at point. And I think they got to get that figured out because it kind of clogs everything up. And I don't know this. I can't prove this, but I feel like there's at times it's also coupled with, you know, maybe Dylan being on the court at the same time and at the five, and maybe he's not really paired with. Maybe that's just not a great rotation because I don't know. For some reason, it seems like when he came in third at point guard this game, so he was the third point guard off the bench this game, and the ball doesn't move. I don't know what it is. The ball doesn't move when he's in, and I think that's just something they got to work on because you need JP. You need some really solid minutes where even if he's just the quarterback back there, where he's not shooting threes and not scoring, if he's just facilitating and then every so often get to the rim, get fouled, do what you got to do. But I don't know. It's three games in. I understand there's a learning curve. There's an adjustment. But we really need more. Need a little bit more out of JP for sure. And then the most disappointing part was not necessarily the way he played, but the fouls early with Tahad Pettiford. Really thought he would be able to couple the last game and kind of build off of it, I guess, and kind of show that he's not sort of a one game wonder. He can, you know, he's going to continue to develop and then just keep going. But he had three fouls. Some of them are questionable, but he does get a little handsy. He's a risk taker, a lot like KD Johnson was, but they seem to be calling him every time. He had four fouls in this game, and he only played, I guess he did play 23 minutes, but still four fouls that limits him, especially the three fouls. It takes you it takes you completely out until, you know, way later in the game. But when he did come in, he may hit some really big shots, had a beautiful fadeaway. A deep two fadeaway that was just unreal. And he didn't, I don't think he did hit one three. He hit the three that bounced off everything in the whole arena. It bounced off the rafters, bounced off the shot clock. Actually, not the shot clock because they had to take the shot clock down and put it on the ground. Bounced all over the place. I've never seen a ball hit so many things and still go in. That's just touch, though, I guess. That's just a shooter's role. And then, obviously, he's still perfect from the free throw line. So, 9 points, and he played sparingly. Played sparingly. I mean, he played kind of – he didn't really get a lot of extended time playing because of the fouls. So, Got to be able to defend a little bit better without fouling, because that kid's electric. He's just unreal, and he's going to keep getting better, even in the very little time, that he got. He made the most of it. So let's get in the chat a little bit and have some fun. Daps in here. Good show, man. Keep it up. Hey, Dap, I'm just trying to be like you. Oh, that's a fan. My bad. Dap fan. That's not even Daryl Dapperich. That's a meme off of Daryl Dapperich. That's even better. I appreciate you, brother. We're going to have fun all season. It's going to be a lot of fun. I'm here because Daryl Dapperich told me to. Thanks, OG22. I really appreciate it. Yes, Drip Edits. They had a 12-0 run right there. I think after we got up to like 25-3, they had a 12-0 run, and it just seemed like they got it all the way down to 4 points at one time. I mean, it was an epic cold streak that we had after coming out so hot. So it was something that I think obviously against a better team, that's something you'd be concerned about. But yeah, just be if you get hot, put teams away. But I tell you what, it says another thing to be able to have a cold streak like that and then being able to turn it on and close it out at the end of the game as well. And that's what they did. But 77% from the line, not bad. I think anytime you can be above 75% as a team from the line, that's pretty good. That I think that's some 80% would be nice, but that just seems sort of out of reach, especially as many times as Broom is typically going to get fouled and Dylan as well. They're going to get hacked a lot, and they're just not very great free throw shooters. I mean, if you take those two away, Dylan missed two, Janai missed one. If you take those two away, I mean, you're over 80% shooting from the free throw line. So anything above 75%, I'm fired up about it. And I think that's championship basketball if you can shoot above 75% from the line. Let's keep going. Glue, you're probably making a good point here. Glue WDE, I think JP is just running whatever's called and the play isn't developing fast enough. You're probably right. He's probably just doing what he's been asked to do. So I don't think they're really asking him to be that dominant ball point guard. They're probably not asking him to take over the game, and maybe just the things that they're doing is not quite opening up the way they expect it. So that's totally possible. And it's definitely not something that I'm not considering. I just want to see a little bit more. I want to see a little bit more from him because, hey, I mean, that was your big get. That was one of your big portal gets. So I just want to see a little bit more from him because I honestly think he can shoot threes at a much better clip. I think he can be a much better threat from three, especially like late in the shot clock when maybe some plays breaking down. He can be that killer. That back-breaking three late in the shot clock. I think he can be that guy. We're just not seeing it right now. But it'll come. It'll come. Let's see. Let's keep going. Doug Dozier. Denver and JP give you nothing in the open court. Denver got downhill once at point guard, but I'm not seeing him do that versus an SEC D. And JP isn't putting pressure on the D at all. I don't necessarily agree with Denver. I think he can get downhill pretty well. But I think he can do it against the SEC Ds. But I just think for some reason, I don't know, I don't know the rotations, the combination of the lineups. When those two are on the court at the same time, the ball doesn't move really well. That's kind of just my untrained eye watching it. It just doesn't seem like when they're on the court at the same time, the ball moves really well. But they'll get better. They'll get better. Let's keep going. Let's see. Who do we play next? We play, I think it was UNA, North Alabama, on Tuesday of next week. I think they're pretty solid. They started off 3-0. So they're pretty solid. So that'll be a good test right before you go to Maui. Yeah, great point, Clay. Chaney Johnson is this year's version of Jalen Williams, maybe even better. I mean, Jalen's fantastic. Okay, don't get me wrong. He is not anywhere in the ballpark of the athlete that Chaney is. And if Chaney's now starting to show that he's not just an athlete, he's actually a very skilled basketball player. And the small things that he's developed has really, really impressed me. I talked about it early in the show. I'm just very, very, I'm very, very impressed with how well he's like worked on his game. And like the little bit, I mean, like there's little bitty technical things that you know, create touch or jump shots, little bitty things about your mechanics to where you're not just being a freak athlete. You're actually being a skilled, you're being a skilled basketball player. You can see it just kind of jump out off the screen that he's doing differently this year, that you can tell that he's put in so much work. It's big. It's big. Turd Ferguson, love your name. I'm sorry. Hold on. Where'd it go? Oh, he deleted it. No, he didn't. There it is. Turd Ferguson. Love the name. I like that we had some adversity. Helps to get the team from getting too cocky. Okay, look. This team, I don't know if there's anything you can do to keep this team from being too cocky. They're going to talk. They're going to jaw. I don't know what it would take to make this team not feel cocky, not feel confident. But I do like them having to battle a little bit. And they battled against Houston. Don't get me wrong. Like they came back from, you know, 7-8 points at one time. But I do, you know, I like it when that's when you're playing a really good team and you're playing good. They're just, you know, they're just beating you and you got to dig deep and come back. This is where you're not playing the way you should be playing, and then you come back, you dig yourself out of the hole, and you come back and you put a game away. So I'm with you. I do like a little bit of adversity, but I'll tell you what, it doesn't matter what happens. This team's going to be cocky. Just get ready for it. They are going to talk. There's going to be technical fouls, probably won a game. Just be prepared for it, and it's going to make you scratch your head, and it's going to make you go crazy. But hey, that's how they do things. They feed off each other. There was one time in the game tonight, there was a little stretch where I was like, Chad is going to get tossed. There's no doubt. This is a recipe for Chad getting tossed. I'm so proud that he didn't. He harnessed his emotions. He had a chip on the sidelines and he was ready to go. He was ready to go. Guys, that was a lot of fun. Another win. You start off the season 3-0. You got a couple of days now that we're going to, you know, regroup, play one more home game, then hit the plane, and then just pray that we make it to Maui without killing each other, because that's a long flight. So y'all have a great weekend. We're going to talk some football in the morning, talk some football the rest of the week, and hopefully win a football game this weekend. So, guys, I really appreciate it. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast, Hoops Edition. Stay buttoned.
Thanks for listening, and drive home safely.